It's Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9.
The whole house of Israel shall know, and there shall lie down, and that will be a mighty, and the little child shall be there.
The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox.
And the weaned child shall put his hand in the breast.
It shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let's pray.
Lord, thank you for that truth. We read this and we think, wow, that's not natural. And yet we were reminded that's how it was before sin came in the world. And that's how it's going to be when you redeem the earth, Lord. And we look forward to that. Lord, between then and now, we just really need your presence and your guidance in our hearts. So we just pray you would, again, feed us and teach us through your word. And that you'd be blessed by this time together. And that you would bless each of us with that word that we need to hear that would just really help us along in our precious relationship with you. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Romans 8. So if you want to turn to Romans 8, we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 25. And we have these little worksheets just to kind of follow along with. So you're welcome to use those if that's helpful for you. And I'm just going to go ahead and start with number one on the worksheet. And number one on our worksheet says, glorification is the third part of our salvation, when we will be in our new bodies, perfectly reflecting the image of God. So the word there is third. It's the third part of our salvation. What does that mean? I thought I was already saved. We are saved, but as you know, probably know this, that our salvation has three parts to it. The first part is justification. The second is sanctification. And the third is glorification. So, okay, sure. Did you get what's on the worksheet? We don't have to take any steps. So when you trusted Christ, when you first trusted Christ, this is all done for all of us. It's a done deal. Well, the three words are justification. Is that what you're asking? Sanctification and glorification. Well, you talked about before. Yeah, and we can't really do a dialogue in here, but I'll be glad to. Yeah, no, yes. Thank you for saying. I agree with you, and I'm glad you did bring it up. And so that's a very good point. I'm talking from the point that we've already repented. So I'll back up. I'll be glad. Yeah. No, yeah, of course. What is repentance? It's metanoia. It's a change of mind that results in a change of behavior, right? But we know that we cannot change our behavior. We are helpless, hopeless sinners, and that only Jesus can do that. And that's what we're looking at in this series. So when I repent, when I turn away from my own self and my sin, and I turn to God, it's twofold, really. It's a repentance away from sin, but it's a turning to God. And I believe the gospel, which is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, right? He was buried for 3 days. He rose from the dead. And if I believe that, he did that for me. And as it says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So definitely repentance, you're right, is very important. Okay, thank you, yeah. Yeah, I don't mean to cause any confusion, but I'm talking about us, our position for those of us that have repented and believed. And so the threefold part of our salvation is justification, sanctification, glorification. Justification, just as if I'd never sinned, right? All my sins, past, present, and future, are washed away by the blood of Jesus on the cross. Does that sound good? Yes. Does that bring some relief? Yes. Do you ever doubt your justification? Don't shout out. I know a pastor in town. I won't. He's kind of outside of Ames proper, but I won't give away who he is. But he doubts this stuff all the time, you know. And he's a pastor, and so it sure feels good for me. I mean, for him to hear these words, you know, that when I first trusted again, Ephesians 1:13. Just write it down and look it up. Ephesians 1:13. You also, Paul talking to a Gentile church, when you heard the word, the gospel of your salvation, it has to be personal, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is God's down payment of our redemption. We're going to talk about our redemption in today's passage. So that's justification. Just as if I'd never sinned. Glorification is what we're going to talk about today. And I'll get back to sanctification. We all want to just fly over that. But glorification is when we're in heaven within our new bodies, like what it says on number one here. We'll have new bodies. Philippians, you can jot it down. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 talks about how our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. He's still our Savior. He's going to save us from these bodies of death, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will conform this lowly body into the image of his glorified body. So we're going to have a body somewhat like what Jesus had after he rose. And we're not going to, you know, like one pastor, wasn't me, but put it, you know, you'll be able to eat all you want and not get fat. You know what I mean? That's kind of superficial, I know. But there, no more sinning. That's the grandest thing. We won't sin again. Anybody tired of sinning? I don't know about you. I'm not ashamed to raise them. I can't raise my right hand today, but I can raise my left one. I had shoulder surgery. Say that five times fast. I can't even say it once, hardly. Even when I met our new friend here, he said, "What happened to you?" I said, "I think I said I had shoulder. I had shoulder on my surgery or something like that." But that's all. I'll make it simple. I'll rejoice and fly. So that's where we're headed, to glory. That's what Paul, he's in Romans 7, he's crying out, "Oh, what a wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And that's the, get me out of this sinful body. And that's what we'll have in heaven at the resurrection and in the rapture, which are pretty much simultaneous. That's glorification. Sanctification is the fun part in between. It's the rest of your life down here after you've come to Jesus. And I know I'm having some sarcasm there, but because we know how hard it is to, you know, to wrestle against sin, you know, and other suffering that we, you know, our passage will talk about suffering. We get persecution, but we definitely get persecution from the devil, from the world, from our own flesh. But that's what sanctification is. Sanctification, it's twofold. It means to be set apart to God, but it also is a process. Hebrews 10:14 for your edification. I get that right? Is it 14? No, there is no Hebrews 14. So that goes to 13. Hebrews 10:14 talks about how Jesus, by one sacrifice, he sanctified forever those who are, or no, he, I got it wrong. That's why I was have to look it up. But I can't, I'm too OCD not to look it up now, because I never want to just butcher a verse when I could just make a few page flips and read it. Hebrews 10:14, by one offering, that's the cross, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Like we're en route, we're on the path, we're in the process of becoming more like Jesus. We'll never make it all the way till we get there. But he knows that, and he loves you right where you're at. And that's the thing to cling to and to hold on to. So sanctification takes care of the penalty of sin. I'm sorry, justification takes care of the penalty of sin. Justification takes care of the penalty. Sanctification is working on against the power of sin. We'll take care ultimately of the power of sin in our lives. And glorification takes care of the presence of sin in our lives. We will be out of these bodies, and actually these bodies will be transformed. If you are here when the Lord comes, your body is going to change on the way up. So it said, you can read that in 1 Corinthians 15. If you die before the rapture, you get to beat us by 6 feet, I guess, as they say. Because your body, your heaven, you go, don't worry, because this is the whole question of Thessalonians about these things. If you die today, you're in heaven with God. Your spirit is in heaven. It's the 2 Corinthians 5, to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. So if you die today, your spirit is with the Lord. Your body is still in the grave. No matter how long it takes before the Lord comes, when he comes, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will ever be with the Lord. And so I'm not going to get into all the eschatology of that, but you can look those scriptures up for yourself. So back to to number one here, and this is what we're focusing on in our little passage, this little part of Romans 8. Glorification is that third part of our salvation. And there are many other benefits of it, but it's when we are in our new bodies and perfectly reflecting the image of God. That's what Jesus, right, says that in Hebrews, that he is the exact representation of God. Jesus was. That's what Adam and Eve were before the fall. And that's what we will be when we are in our new bodies. So, and that's all the benefit of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now we'll look at our text here. It's so short, I think I'll read it through, and then we'll go through our worksheet and break it down. So Paul, and it's hard to do this without a running start, but I'd have to keep going back to a new starting place. Because Romans 8, as you know, just full of glorious promises. But again, we're justified. There is therefore now no condemnation, verse 1 of Romans 8, to those who are in Christ. Well, how do I know I'm in Christ? Ephesians 1:13. You having believed, you were sealed. See, you don't base it on your performance or your attitude or that thought you just had, or don't let the devil beat you up. Don't let your own flesh beat you up. Don't let anybody beat you up. God is gracious. So, no condemnation. God took care of it on the cross. We're children of God. It says further on there in Romans 8, where he gave us a spirit of adoption and not a spirit of fear. We're born into his family. We can't get into all the details of the adoption right now. But it says, we move up to verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It's this thing of the Spirit. This was last week or 2 weeks ago study, but to give a little more on it, it's a thing of the Spirit, right? There are very smart people that are very intellectual people that are Christians and people not so smart that are Christians. There are very intellectual people in the world that are not Christians and people that aren't so smart that are not Christians, right? It's not about a mind thing. It's a thing of the Spirit. I referenced, just read the last part of 1 Corinthians 2, where Paul talks about that. The natural person does not understand the things of the Spirit, nor can he know them. It's like trying to tell a blind man to enjoy a sunset. And you could talk to him all you want about it, but he doesn't have the faculty to enjoy that sunset. And it's the same thing with the gospel and with Jesus Christ and having a relationship with him, right? It's just a thing of it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to believe in God, and it's his Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. Our spirit and his spirit, our school of ministry director, he taught through Romans, and I listened to it. Blue Letter Bible, Carl Westerlin, if you're interested, he goes like one or two verses at a time, literally scores and scores of lessons going through Romans, but it's very good. He talks about like a tuning fork. You hit that tuning fork and it just gets that, and I'm not a musician, so help me out, but it just makes that sound, that key or whatever, is that the right word? The key that you want. And that's kind of what that is with the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. I could tell you, I'm being conscious of the time, and I don't want to be boring for anyone in here, especially the young people. So here's your chance to say, well, then sit down and let's eat, you know. Okay, I'll give you another chance. I'll give you another chance at 1:30. I'm just kidding. Okay, I had two times for sure that God, I mean, he does that all the time for all of us. most of the time when I'm in here singing to him with you, I'm sorry to put it this way, but I feel saved. And that goes against our, it's not about our feelings, right? But it's nice to, you know, there's something about being in the presence of the Lord and sensing his presence. And so I can think of a couple times, once years ago when we lived in West Des Moines, we were on a street with lots of older trees, and I was very new to Iowa. I was from Southern California, where you have, you know, two seasons, you know, just hot and not as hot, I guess. I know. No, it was very cold and very nice in the winter and in the fall there. But traffic's another story. But I was driving home from work, and it was fall, and the trees, you know, just the colors of the trees was so beautiful. And I happened to be listening to a message from a pastor that I really respect. And it's a message on how to overcome temptation. And I'd listened to it before. It's just a message. It's a real blessing. And I was listening to that message on my way home from work and driving in our neighborhood. And I was just looking at it was just a beautiful fall day. They have those in Iowa, you know, and beautiful spring days too, coming soon. But the trees were just beautiful. And I'm just seeing this, and I had this thought in my head, this is so glorious. I wonder how heaven's going to beat this. And right after that, this thought came in my head. I knew it was the Lord. And the thought was, well, when you're in heaven, you won't be listening to a tape on how to overcome temptation. And I just knew that was him speaking to me and just bearing witness that I'm his, you know. Another time, I'm a marriage counselor. That's my license. I counsel, dude. Most of you know I'm a therapist, and this is what I do for fun. I love doing both. But one day I was in my office in the Merle Hay Mall, the Merle Hay Tower, in between clients, and I was just reading up on, it was a Christian commentary on a Christian book that I have about just about helping people in their marriage and just how devastating adultery is. And this Christian article made this statement, and I about came out of my seat. I was so angry. And the statement was, wives, this is PG probably, but said, wives, if you don't provide for your husband in this area, he'll find it somewhere else. And I just was so angry. A Christian article saying this, you know, and then even again, the Lord just showed me that that's his spirit in me, you know, because there's no excuse to put things in those terms. So anyway, if you're confused at what I'm talking about, just talk to Nathan afterwards. I'm kidding. Let's just read together verses 18 through 25. So building up to that, verse 17. We're children, we're heirs, you know, Paul has his run-on sentences, that's why I have my run-on sermons, but verse 17 says, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And we do suffer, one way or another, we suffer for being a Christian. Then he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, and hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And so that's looking forward again to the glorification of our bodies. And until we die and the Lord comes, that can happen when the rapture happens, when the Lord comes back and to get his church, to catch them up in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, Ephesians 3, the last two verses, and other passages. talk about that. But let's get back to our worksheet. So this is just looking at verse, this is only looking at verse 18, number two on your worksheet. Our suffering is temporary, but our rest, joy, bliss, and his glory are forever. So the word there is forever. And that's what we have to hang on to, right, to get through our trials. So for again, the question is, do I suffer for being a Christian? You know, we live in the United States. A lot of the world, people are getting their heads cut off for being a Christian or thrown into prison or discriminated against in horrible ways, you know, ways that they would have been, that they were back in the New Testament. I've heard that there have been more martyrs in the last century than there have been all combined. So it's still going on. We live in this, I call it a bubble, right? This little bubble called the United States. But that being said, you don't have to fret. Oh, I guess I don't suffer for the Lord. We do suffer for the Lord. There's a verse the Lord blessed me with and from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, talking about Jesus. He himself suffered being tempted, and so he's able to aid the rest of us who are being tempted. Just the fact that you have to wrestle with sin, that's a form of suffering. And then anything else between that and getting burnt at the stake. You know, I know that I have had some persecution, some discrimination against me, or some, you know, or even in our own families, right? I know that all of us at some level or another, sometime or another, maybe even now, currently in your life, you're going through suffering for being a Christian. And it's not just persecution. There's also bodily suffering, right? There's just the suffering of whether it's addictions or what have you. We just suffer down here. But here's the promise again, verse 18. Paul says, I consider, that's that word again, lagizomai, which is where he said earlier, reckon yourself to be dead to sin. It's a mathematical, it's an accounting type thing. Paul says, I've studied this and I've weighed the two together, and that the suffering of this present time, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. This is a bad day for me. Amen. Amen. I want to give the scales. I can't do this with one. I need to ask my daughter to come up here. I'm just kidding. Thank you, Rosa. Rosa's more. Stand up, Rosa, and show us the scales. So which one is suffering and which one is, put them even, okay? Which one is the suffering and which one is the glory? You pick. So that's the suffering and the left one's the glory. So when we get to heaven, which one's going to outweigh the other? It's a scale. How's it going to go? There you go. The other way. Other way. Other way. It's heavier. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is I like this. I like this. Okay, thank you. Let's give her a hand. I can't do it all. You discover lots of things you can't do with. Nicholas threw me off before church. He says, you're a day off. Well, I know I'd like a day off, but no, what are you talking about? And he said, well, yesterday was April 1st. I thought you were playing a joke. You thought I was just trying to pretend that I do have an arm under here, you know, but so anyway, glory, weight, very good. Because glory, especially I think the Old Testament term, it means weight, you know. That's why Belshazzar in the book of Daniel, the handwriting on the wall, Daniel comes and he interprets it. You've been weighed in the balances, you know. You've been weighed in the balances and you're lightweight spiritually. You're not. And there's a psalm, I'd have to look it up, but talks about every man of low degree is a vapor. Every man of high degree is a lie. We're all the same. If they were both weighed in the balances, they wouldn't add up to anything. That's the idea. And that's what Paul is saying, that whatever we're going through, and I don't minimize, I look around the room and I know a lot of you all have suffered a lot, immensely, you know, and still are. But this is our promise that, and he says there in, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, our light affliction is but for a moment compared to the eternal weight of glory. Now, was Paul qualified to say this? I would think so, because he experienced both, right? Talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, all the stuff he went through, being that the whipped, you know, the cat of nine tails, 40 stripes minus one. So 39 times with that cat of nine tails leather, nine pieces of leather with a bunch of like metal and rocks and bone or whatever in them. So you weren't just getting whipped, you were getting shredded. That's what happened to Jesus. Just pulverized, you know. Paul went through that five times, he said, I believe. You can check me on that in 1 Corinthians 11. He was beaten with rods. We know he was stoned to apparent death one time. He says, I was in the sea one night, a whole day, a whole night and a whole day, just hanging on to a board in the sea, you know. So I'm like, wow. I feel like, I don't know if I want to meet Paul in heaven. He'll be like, you wimp, you know what were you, you know. But so he went through all that. But, you know, he also, you go on and read through 2 Corinthians 11 is where he talks about those things. And in 2 Corinthians 12, he goes on about having this vision, being caught up into heaven and hearing things that were so amazing that it'd be unlawful for him to repeat. So he experienced both. So he has the authority to say that. And so that's what we can hang on to when we are suffering. I think of like when we were kids, I grew up not far from Disneyland. You know, you're in the car on your way to Disneyland, kids are fighting. I went there as a kid, I went there as a dad. Now we have Adventureland. You know what I like about Adventureland more than Disneyland? Take a guess. I mean, Disneyland has way more than Adventureland. I bet you could guess. You're laughing back there. There's hardly any lines in Adventureland. Man, at Disneyland, the good rides are like an hour and a half wait. So anyway, but the idea is, what's the point? You may be in the car and you're just, the seatbelt's uncomfortable and your sibling's poking your ear or whatever. And it's just, you just don't like it. It's unbearable, but you just know we're almost at Disneyland, you know, and I'm going to be at Disneyland. Of course, there's been stressful times at Disneyland too, but there's lots to look forward to. And that just pales in comparison to this. And what he says here in our verse, again, it's worth looking at, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Those last few words, shall, the Greek there, the way that it's, the nuances of it, it could be translated, the glory which is about to be revealed in us, which again implies that Paul was eagerly waiting to be caught up into heaven at that time. But more than that, that shall be revealed in us. What does that mean? I don't know. I've been contemplating that for 2 weeks. I was supposed to give this message last week, but we got stuck in a snowstorm. But what I feel the Lord's given me thus far on this is the glory that's revealed in us. Paul says in Colossians 1 that the hope of glory is Christ in you, that Jesus Christ lives in you, right? By the Holy Spirit, he is in you. And when he comes back, or when we are caught up and transformed, it's going to be very evident that Jesus lived in me. It's going to be glorious. And then notice it, but he says in our verse, the glory that will be revealed in us. So us collectively, the church. We just got through Revelation not too long ago. In Revelation 21 and 22. No, I'm getting it mixed. It's definitely more of 22. It talks about how, I'll get it straight. Sorry. It's 20. It's the last part of 21 where John gets this vision. First, he is told earlier in 19, he sees, before Jesus comes back to the earth, he sees people in fine linen. Before that, he is told that he's going to be introduced to the bride of the Lord. It says in Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. It talks about us there in heaven in our linen garments. And then later when he comes back, we're behind him in horses wearing our linen garments. Then you fast forward, and then he says, the angel says to John in Revelation 21, verse 9, he says, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away, and then John sees this glorious structure coming down from heaven, and it's all these different stones, and some of them just clear as crystal, just shining with this glory. And so which is the bride, the church or the New Jerusalem? And it seems to be the commentaries say that it's us, it's his glory, but we're beaming with his glory and we're in this structure, and it's just like so dazzling, this glory. And it's not us getting the glory, it's he gets the glory, but he chooses to share his glory with us. That's what it says. If you look back, we're in Romans 8. Let me get back there myself. And he says there, from the verse ahead of where we're at, he says, that we, in verse 17, we are joint heirs with Christ. That's like he's our brother. That's what Paul's saying. And indeed, if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So he's gonna shine his light through us, and there's gonna be glory. 1 Corinthians 4, look it up for yourself. It's the first few verses, it's maybe verse 5. It talks about when the Lord comes. Don't judge anything till he comes, and then every secret thing of the heart will be judged. And you're like, yeah, that's scary. And that is something to be sobered by. But then he makes this statement, then each one's praise will come from God. That's the bema seat of Christ. That's where we will be judged, like at an Olympic ceremony. We will be judged and rewarded for what we've done for him, for his glory. Not what I've done for him, for my glory. God isn't about me taking the bows for what he does. You know, we are his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, right? Created in Christ Jesus for the works that he's prepared for us. So he wants to do works through us, and he does. And I'm telling you, back to the, I have to, you know, I'm parking on this verse a little bit, because the next item on our worksheet, as you see, we only have four items, and I'm still targeting 11:33 to be done. But this is just worth parking on this verse, the glory. Because what does that mean? It's worth contemplating, right? Out of these bodies of death, in his presence, perfectly reflecting him, and this glory, and this, like, I don't get it. Do you get it? We're like the bride of Christ, and we're really esteemed, it seems, in heaven. And what did I do? Nothing but believe, but repent, yes, and believe. But... And speaking of the reward, you know, that reward ceremony, think of how generous Jesus is. He says in the Gospels, not, you know, a cup of water will not go without a reward. You give someone a cup of water, you're going to be rewarded for that. Yes, thank you. Is that the cup of water?
Yeah, then the king will say to those who are at his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did I see you hungry and feed you? You are thirsty and gave you drink. When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and give you clothes? Or when did we see that you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to him, surely I say to you, insomuch as you did it to one of these least of these of my brethren, you did it to me.
Yeah, thank you. And I was even thinking of another verse that talks about. But thank you. But not, I'm not kidding. That's where I was going to go next. Just that whole, the whole sheep and the goats passage. And sure. Yeah. Yeah, and that's a scary thing, yeah. But what's interesting, the point about, then they said, Lord, when did I do this? And that's what I want to, another thing about glory. You're going to get to heaven, and you're going to be blown away by the glory of God and the rewards that you get, because you don't even remember doing them. And I'm going to give you another example, and I don't do this. I've shared this with some of you, I think, anyway. It's just something that happened, a counseling related thing that happened. I'm not breaking anybody's confidentiality or anything, but I saw this person when they were 18 years old. My office down in Windsor Heights was conveniently located next to a Dairy Queen. So I loved working with young people, because I said, you look like you need an ice cream, you know, and we would go get ice cream. And so And so I remember doing that with various clients. So fast forward, now this 18-year-old client who I hadn't seen for years is 28. And I do a side thing where I go to people's houses pre-COVID. Now I make phone calls for people that just got out of the psychiatric hospital. And she's now a mother, and she had a young son who was the person I had to go visit. It's like, whoa, it's you. You know, we're talking and reminiscing. And she said to me, I don't remember this. That's why I'm sharing this. I'm not trying to lose a reward. If I lose my reward, then I've already, whatever. But she said to me, yeah, I remember going to Dairy Queen. You bought me a birthday cake. That's the first birthday cake anyone ever bought me. And I mean, I guess that was another time the Lord bore witness with my spirit. Not that I'm saved, but that you have no idea. Because I don't know about you, but I remember all the bad things I've done and the regrets that I have and the things that I've said and the things I wish I could take back. But that's glorious. Is that not glorious? That's what we have to look forward to. And then my last thing, and this just came when I walked in here. I walk in and I see, what? Norm Kaldenberg's here today? And his beautiful and handsome children. And not all of it. Norm and Heidi. I mean, Norm and Heidi, they predate the Thompsons. And the Thompsons, are, you know, I like to say that, all these guys are part of our story, the Kaldenbergs and the Thompsons. I told you, Holly. See, I remember your name now. I couldn't think of Heidi's name earlier, but that but that's a 59 and a half year old level dementia, that's what I call it. So but it's just glorious to come here today and have no idea. I'm talking to Norm and I see, you know, I see Elena and I see Wesley and I see Myra, who was here with Isaiah 6 months or so ago, but especially Wesley and Elena, because they're younger. So just, it's funny what a few years does with a younger person, you know, and then we're sitting here and I'm talking with Norm and I'm talking with Sharon and Anthony, and we're just kind of connecting dots together and thinking, this is just, oh, we got to sing the first verse of this hymn in a minute here. But this is just a taste of heaven. When you get up there in the reunion, it's going to be. We're not just going to be talking with Anthony and Sharon and everybody. We're going to be there with Terry and Anthony and Sharon. Can I get an amen on that? I'd love you to know Terry. We're going to be all together just reminiscing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Here's the word. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen? That's what it means, a foretaste. Whatever the best experience you've had with the Lord down here, just a foretaste. It's a first fruit. Later in our passage, talks about we who have the first fruits of the Spirit. I'm just going to preach. There's no way we're going to get through this. I cannot rush through this. So I'm just going to preach for till either 11:31 or the first tomato hits me. And then I like our new friend there. I like your sense of humor, brother. Yeah, what do you got there in your jacket? So I hope this wasn't too boring for anybody, but we'll be done soon, and we'll pick up where we'll even fill in the blanks, but we're going to back up. Well, next week's Easter, so it'll take a little while, but this series, if I can call it that, is to really grow us in the grace of God and to know our position, which means this is what you are and what you have regardless of your behavior. And I know that's not an encouragement to sin on purpose. It's just the truth. Jesus is in you and with the cross afforded. So just, some of you I know are as OCD as I am. Like, what are the rest of the blanks? So number three, when Jesus comes back, all of creation will rejoice and breathe. You probably know this one. Breathe a sigh of Yes, relief, right? And then number four, the adoption, comma, the redemption of our body, that's straight out of the verse, will be worth the wait. You probably knew that one too. It'll be worth the wait. So, but I guess I'll just tie in. Well, why did you read about the lion? Or it's really the, technically it's the wolf lies down with the lamb. But that wonderful passage in Isaiah chapter 11, that's what it'll be like when the Lord does come back to the earth at the end of the seven-year tribulation, and he reigns from Jerusalem, and the earth will be renewed, and for 1,000 years he'll reign on the earth. The devil, Revelation 20 is your reference on that one. The devil will be chained for 1,000 years, and when the 1,000 years is up, then he'll try one last rebellion, he'll get wiped out, then comes the new heaven and the new earth. But if I may, just referencing Isaiah chapter 11, and yeah, you know, I think about the glory and the suffering and the glory. The reason Norm and his kids are here is because they are part of this homeschool basketball group that we are part of. He predates us in that. Norm was the coach of the team for a long time. But he also did coach our son Nicholas, and there were just others that have coached. And there's a precious family that lives in Redfield that needs your prayers. Terry's the wife. Her children are Abby and Aaron and Allie. And her husband and the father, Paul, passed away suddenly last week, just tragically and suddenly. But he's in glory, you know, and that's what we have to look forward to. Okay. So, I have no experience with death on that level at all. So, but there's no, that's, you know, but on Tuesday is a several hour celebration of life. And Paul was, you know, we're talking about Paul in the Bible. Paul Hayes, who's in heaven now, was a wonderful, wonderful guy, loving guy, just hugged everybody, welcomed all the kids, and just a great, great connector in the body of Christ, Paul was. So, just as far as the animal kingdom, that's related to in our passage where it says creation groans, waiting, eagerly waiting for the sons of God, for the children of God to be revealed. That's talking about when we are in our new bodies and we come back with him. You can reference 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 on that. You can find that in there where he'll be glorified in us. But I just think of the animal kingdom. We'll probably repeat this some next week. Like I was praying earlier, that, you know, you read about these things, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The only time that the wolf and the lamb dwells with the wolf now is in his stomach, right? Because of the food chain. And we think that's so unnatural, but you look at the calf and the young lions and the fatling together, they'll all be hanging out. A little child shall lead them. Anyone like a lion for a pet? You know, that, and that will be safe in that time. It says here, the lion shall eat straw like an ox. Can you picture that? I can't, but that's not only how it will be, but that's how it was. So I think about creation groaning. That's one way creation groans. The animal kingdom, the wolf and the lamb are friends, you know, little, you know, Willy Wolf and Lammy Lamb. And then the fall happens and Wolfie Wolf says to Lammy Lamb, have you heard about the food chain? No, what's that? Let me show you. You know, it's like that's what sin has brought into our world. So just another thing of glory to look forward to. So Lord, thank you for that. And for most of all, Lord, that you love me. You love us sinners enough to become a person and to be our kinsman redeemer and to die on the cross for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.